I want to talk this morning a little bit about relationships in the relationships. If you look up relationships, usually they'll give you, here's the general relationships that we find ourselves in this world. We find ourselves in, and really it's the top four or five or six or eight or ten different relationships that we are in. And the first one is the family relationship. Obviously, you're born to parents, or even if it's a single parent or two parents, you're born into a family. The first relationship really that you know is of a family relationship. And the second one is much, if I can get this on the back wall too, I'd really like that. Yeah, a friend relationship. We just saw the friend relationship here when one has to come up and do something scary, and we have a friend sitting. That's a friend relationship. We find ourselves in friend relationships, and this is not my doing. This is just in the world today. We find ourselves in a romantic relationship or in a marriage relationship type of later on, we find ourselves usually almost in order, right? A family, and then friends, and then maybe on into the romantic or the spousal relationship, and then there's work relationships that we are in, and then there's situational relationships that we are in, and that could be just with the mailman or a neighbor or someone in a local store or something. You have this relationship with someone of the community. It's a situation that you're in. Maybe you're on the board with somebody, and that's the relationship that you're in with them. The relationships are very important to who we are and what way God has designed us. And up to a point, you can push the button, up to a point, that relationship, up to a point, you have nothing invested in the other person. You have spent nothing. You can take credit for nothing. Up to a point, you've got nothing invested in the other person that you're about to step into a relationship with. You have nothing invested in them at all. But once the relationship begins, it will cost us to, as it moves forward. It begins to cost, but there's a point where there's no cost to you. There's nothing. You've invested nothing in that relationship. That is true for every relationship that we are in. But I just want to look at marriage just for a few seconds this morning as an illustration. There is a time when you will stand, or you have stood at the altar, and you stood there with your spouse-to-be. And maybe they're 25, 20, 30, I don't know what the age, but up to that age, you've done nothing. You've got nothing invested in that person. You're about ready to step into a relationship, and for 18 years, their parents have invested in them, have invested time and money and all the thousands of emotions, thousands of dollars, thousands of hours of time. You've got nothing invested in that relationship. In that person, you've got nothing invested. But you're about ready to step into this relationship with someone that you have nothing invested in. But once the relationship begins, it will cost us as it moves forward. It's going to start costing us as it moves forward. If it doesn't cost us, let me just say this, if it doesn't cost, it will not move forward. There's a moment when our relationship starts. But for it to continue and for it to grow, it's going to start costing us something. It'll start costing. You will need to consider the thoughts of another. It'll start costing. You'll start have to think differently. Push the button, please. You'll have to think differently. You will start need to consider the thoughts of another. You will need to give up things. You will need to. You will do different things, and you will not do some things. You will go different places, and you will not go some places. You will go to Christmas dinners and to birthday parties, and you will spend Sunday afternoon with a family that you did not marry but comes along as the package deal. It will begin to cost you. In order for that relationship to continue to grow to the greatest level, it costs you, and it will cost you. you to as it moves forward. And if it doesn't, if you're not willing to pay anything into this relationship will not move forward, not to the height that it can move forward. If you're waiting for someone else in your relationships to start paying dividends, you'll probably never get it. Just start letting it cost you so it can move forward. Your life will change and you will change. Our relationship with Jesus is the same way. At one moment, you had nothing invested. At one moment, you had nothing invested. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever wants to start this relationship with Jesus can do that, shall not perish but have eternal life." At one point, the invitation is to have this relationship with Jesus because God loves you. And because God wants to give you this relationship with him. But you, up to this point, you got nothing invested. But it's offered to you. It's offered to you to have this relationship with Christ. And Jesus paid it all. He's bringing to the relationship. He's bringing all the relationship with the Father. He's bringing to the relationship all the righteousness that you'll need. He's bringing to the relationship all the forgiveness that you'll need. He's bringing to the relationship all the work of the cross. He's bringing to the relationship all of everything that you need. He's got it all. You got nothing invested. You're bringing nothing to the relationship, and you got nothing invested in this relationship that's being offered to you. Does that make sense this morning? You embrace the cross. You embrace the cross. Push the button. You embrace the cross. And the cross has cost you nothing. All the work of the cross was all done. You've got nothing invested in the work of the cross. And it was all offered to you. But I'm telling us right now, unless we are willing for that relationship to start costing us something, it'll never grow to the level that it needs to grow to and has the potential to grow to. He's invited you to the cross. He's invited you to the cross, and he's dumping on you all his love, and he's dumping on you all his relationship with the Father, and Jesus is dumping on you all the forgiveness. There's nothing he can't forgive. There's nothing he can't forgive, and there's not only nothing he can't forgive, there's nothing he won't forgive. And he's bringing that all as a result of the cross. And he said, all I want you to do is meet me at the cross. All I want you to do is to embrace the cross. That's all I want you to do. I want to start this relationship with you. Can you just meet me at the cross? It costs you nothing to meet me at the cross. It costs you nothing. And I'm willing to dump onto you my love and my forgiveness and my relationship with the Father. You've embraced the cross, and the cross has cost you nothing. But if this relationship is going to go forward, you can bet that it's going to start costing you something. Look what it says in Mark 8:34. Then Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he said, If anyone would come after me, if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself and he must take up his cross and follow me. He must deny himself. He must say no to selfish interest and earthly securities. He must take up the cross. He must start saying yes to God's will in his life. If you want to follow me, if you want this relationship to rise to the greatest level, you need to meet me at the cross. You need to meet me at the cross, and I'll do business with you. But then you need to take up your cross, and you need to follow me. Because at the cross, I give you a cross. At the cross, I give you a calling. At the cross, I give you the next steps that I want you to go. Oh, I've forgiven you. Oh, I love you. It has nothing to do with more forgiveness or more love. I love you. But this relationship now is going to start costing you if you want to make it go forward. And sometimes I wonder if I don't sacrifice because I'm not willing for it to cost me. I'm wondering if I sacrifice where God wants me to go and what cross, where the cross, where my cross is going to take me. Because of the work of the cross, where is my cross going to take me? And sometimes I don't know if I really want to, and it should change me. I don't know if I want to go and do the things that it wants me to. I don't know if I want to let go of things. I don't know, God. I don't know. And I'm just going to be satisfied. Can I just stay close to my cross? God, does the cross come, my cross come with a standard so I can just kind of set it down once in a while? The reality is it does. Does it cost me? Does this cross affect? No. Is this going to do something different in my life if I don't let this cross be set down? If I don't give up on it? If I carry this cross with me? If I get rid of the standard and say, you know what? I am not. I love it. I can't even get it out of the standard now. Not. I don't know what this cross is going to cost me today or tomorrow. I know what is some of it that it's going to has cost me already. And I had this time with God this week, and He took me back to a picture of a place in Tioga County. He took me back there, and He walked me, and I said, God, why do you have me here? And He walked me to this corner, and then He walked me to that corner, then He walked me to this woods, and He walked me down this fence row. And I said, God, what are you doing? He said, don't you know, don't you forget, I know what you've given up to follow me. I remember what you've given up to follow me. I don't think that didn't come at a high price for you. But you never would have been able to follow the cross if you'd have hung on to that. Thank you, Son, for sitting that down. Thank you for choosing the cross over that. Amen. So today, I need to choose the cross again. Today, we need to choose the cross again. Today. It's not done. He said, anyone who wants to come after me must take up his cross or her cross. You will need to consider the thoughts of another. You'll need to give up things. Yes. People say, can I do this and be a Christian? No, you can't do this and be someone who follows Christ. You're going to let down the cross to take a hold of this. Well, does that affect this work of salvation in your life? No, you're good. If you want fire insurance, just grab a hold of this cross. Let God forgive you. But if you want to live the life that Christ has for you, starting here, you need to pick up your cross. And you will need to give up things. And you will do different things. And you won't do some things. And you won't go places. And you will go places. And your life will change. And you will change. My verse from last week was Habakkuk. The Lord is my strength. The Lord God is my strength. He has made my feet like hinds' feet or deer's feet. And makes me walk on my high places. Here's my card. I've carried it with me all week. God says, I got high places I want you to walk on. I want you to carry your cross. I'm going to make you walk on your high places, which has really rattled me this week. It's not just any high places, it's my high places. It's your high places. Carrying your cross and walking on your high places is one and the same. You want to walk on high places? It comes through your cross, which comes through the cross. Are you going to, is this cross going to cost you? Oh, it's going to cost you. This cross was free, and this cross will cost you everything. Amen. Or you can leave it set and be a whining, complaining, whatever. Carrying your cross and walking on your high places are one and the same. Habakkuk says this at 3:19 again. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made or given me the ability of my feet like hinds feet, and makes me ability, again, to walk on my high places. I'm telling us right now, if the Lord God, Yahweh, it's Adonai Yahweh is my strength. Woo! Hang on! It's not your everyday run-of-the-mill strength. They're stacking the deck here. Habakkuk is saying, well, I need Adonai Yahweh strength. You don't need Adonai Yahweh strength just to live your everyday ordinary life. You need your Adonai Yahweh strength to live the life of the cross. To move to those high places. To walk on your high places. If I need Adonai, Yahweh's strength and abilities, which is when he made my feet, that's an ability. He makes me, that's an ability. Strength is the strength. I'm giving you strength and ability and ability and ability to walk on your high places. Will you just pick up your cross and watch what I can do? And don't ever worry what God told me. I will never lose sight of what you've given up to follow me. If I need Adonai, Yahweh's strength and abilities, the way to the high places, then the way to the high places must take divine strength and abilities. You can't go there without him. You can't walk on your high places without Adonai Yahweh's strength and ability. And you don't get Adonai Yahweh's strength and ability without Adonai and Yahweh. Without coming to the cross and picking up your cross and watching what God can do. If I need Adonai, Yahweh's strength and ability, the way to the high places must take divine strength and ability. The way to the high places must be risky and dangerous and uncomfortable. The way to the high places must be unknown to me, or I wouldn't need his ability. I wouldn't need his strength. If I could get there without him, I wouldn't need him. And he said, you can't get there. You can't rise to the greatest level in the here and the now. I'm not talking about heaven. One day we'll get there. That cross will take you to heaven. This cross will build a bridge between here and your coffin.
Come on now.
Therefore, I am certain. That walking on the high places will have uncertainties. I am certain that walking on the high places takes divine strength and ability. And I am certain that walking on the high places is risky, dangerous, and even uncomfortable. And I am also certain that walking in the high places is an obtainable reality. stop counting yourself short, because your God is short of nothing. And I am certain that walking in the high places takes less of me and more of God. And I am certain that walking on the high places takes sacrifice and surrender. So I ask this question this morning. What's your surrender number? 1 through 100. I had 1 through 10, but I said, man, I need like a 48 in there, God. A 1, I'm busy. Can you get someone else? To 100, here am I, send me. Do you realize that when Isaiah said that in Isaiah 6, he had no idea what God was going to ask him to do? Total surrender. Here am I, send me. I don't know about you, but I'm not 100 yet. I'm going to throw in there that some of us in this room are probably 60s. Some of us in this room are 11. Some of us in this room may be 70. I'm not asking you to pick your number today and say, okay, everybody who thinks they're above 50, stand up. Okay, if you're above 60, stay standing, everybody sit down. But I'm just asking this morning what it takes to move me from a 60 to a 61. Or me from a 10 to 11. See, God doesn't really care what your number is to start. He's more interested about what your number is going to do. So what is your surrender number? Is it a 31? Is it a 7? Is it a 20? Is it a 57? Is it an 82? But what does it take to get between here and there? What does it take to get our surrender number higher? And God, I know that you want a strength. I know. And I know it takes sin, surrender for me to know more of you. Thank you for the cross. We sing about the old rugged cross. I want somebody to write a song about this cross. In my high places. The places that he wants to move me. And the places that he is moving me. So how do I increase my surrender, God? I just want to surrender more, God. And as Cheryl would say, the next slide is going to say one of Cheryl's famous statements is this: you just got to increase my want to, God. I just need an anointing of the want to. I need to increase my want to, God. And maybe you just need a fresh anointing this morning. Maybe you just need to sing, Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. We sing that song. And it says, fall fresh on me, Spirit of the Living God. Fall fresh on me, melt me. Woo-hoo. Mold me. Make me. Use me. That's surrender. See, well, I want the Spirit of the Living God. Fall fresh on me. Make me feel really cool. God said, I need to melt you first. You're kind of like old lead. You're meldable. I'm going to need to turn up the fire some. Are you okay with that if I turn up the fire in your life? Because I love you and I'm increasing your want to, and I'm giving you a fresh anointing. And I hear you singing in your heart. I really do. And I think you mean it. Well, I think God doesn't say I think anything. He said, I know you mean it. But can I melt you? Can I mold you? Can I make you? Can I use you? Because, I got high places for you. I got high places for you. Do we just need a fresh anointing this morning? Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me.
I think I do. I know I do. And just so you know, it would be a lot easier to shuffle my papers and preach this message without this cross in my hand. But for crying out loud, you don't need a pastor without a cross in his hand. And just so you know, the world doesn't need a whole bunch of believers in Jesus Christ that have clung to this cross without a cross in their hand. I just want to increase my surrender number. I'm not going to compare it. There's people in this room that are much more surrendered than I am. You look like it anyway. Just don't take this the wrong way, but right now, I don't really care about your surrender number. I care about mine. And I want you to care about yours. I want you to ask God to give you a fresh anointing. I want us, you, to sing, Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Because I want to increase my surrender number. This relationship is going to cost, or it's not going forward. So let me ask a very practical question today. What do you need to let go of or take a hold of? What do you need to let go of so you can pick up what God wants you to pick up? What do we need to let go of this morning? And I only ask, what do we need to let go? What do you need to let go of? I ask that first because it's going to be hard to pick up something with a handful of something. If your child comes to you and they've been playing outdoors and you say, hey, come get a cookie, and they come to the door, not that this would ever happen, but with a handful of dirt, you're going to need to say what? Drop the dirt. Let me wash your hand. Now you receive the cookie. But we get all mad at God and say, well, I want dirt in my hand. He said, oh, man, that's going to give you all kinds of stuff. I'm telling you what, as like a 7-year-old, I know what eating dirt with parasites in it does for you. It scares your mother when parasites start leaving your 6-year-old's body. It starts to freak out your mom. I know, it freaked out my mom. God says, all I want to do is put something in your hand that's so special. Can you and I just do business and drop some? You just need to lay that down. Just so what do you need to lay down? Look what Paul's telling Timothy. Just a few minutes this morning. Look what he's telling. In a large house. And I would say in a complicated person. You're complicated. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble or some, they got high value and great use. And some are for ignoble or the opposite of that. They're not terribly valuable. So if you're going to get to your high places, you're going to need to let go of the invaluable stuff. Is that the unvaluable, whatever word I'm supposed to use there. The not valuable. The worthless. I heard the Spirit just say worthless. It might have been Chris, but he said, yeah, it come through Chris. The worthless stuff, can you just let it down? Because I got something that I want in your hand, and that something I'm going to put in your hand is going to lead you to your high places, and it's going to enable you to walk on your high places. And you don't have to wait till you're 18 to walk on high places. And it doesn't matter if you're retired or not. I want you to walk on high places. Young buck dads, I want you to walk on high places. Young bucks in general. This world's got a lot of places that want you to walk. They ain't high. Oh, they might get you high. And Budweiser never makes you wiser. It's always Bud Dumber. okay? But it's going to offer it to you. But God's got some high places he wants you to go. Let him take you there. I'm going to whack somebody with my cross here. In a large house, there are articles, put it back. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes or good purposes, and some are not. Some are valuable, some are worthless. The next verse says this: if a man cleanses himself or purges himself or lets down what's in his hand, if a man or a woman will let down, if a man cleanses himself of the latter, what was the latter? Not L-A-D-D-E-R, but L-A-T-T-E-R. The wood and clay stuff. If a man or a person, hang on, you're going to see what that's going to do here in a minute. If you'll just let down, just well, the base, that needs to go. Yeah, I'm asking you to not to do that. Yeah, I'm asking you to let go of that. Yeah, I'm asking you to get rid of that. You're right, that's what I'm doing. I'm asking you to purge himself from the ladder, the wood and clay. He will be an instrument for valuable purposes. Woo! That's cross stuff. That's high place stuff. Made holy ability. God's ability. Adonai, Yahweh, ability. Made. Made holy. You mean God's going to force? He's not going to force. He's going to make you holy. Useful to the master and prepared for any good work. Prepare to do any good work. Well, you just let that down. You don't know what you're giving up. Even Jonah, from inside the belly of the whale or the inside of the belly of the big fish, even he said in Jonah 2:8, woe to those who cling to worthless idols. They forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Be made useful in the master's hands, prepared to do any good work, the good work to walk on high places. Look what the next verse says. Will you just flee the evil desires of your youth? They're going to run after you. You need to get your running shoes on. You know what they are? The evil of youth includes such things as small-mindedness. Push the button. Small-mindedness. You're going to need to lose your small-mindedness because the high places are bigger than what you can think. You know what that's saying? You think too small. You have no idea where the cross will take you and the high places that it'll take you to. You're going to let go of your small thinking. You're going to need to let go of your half-heartedness. And you're needing to let go of your self-assertion. Just so you know, this is not about you. He said, you're going to need Timothy. He's talking to Timothy. He said, you're going to need to let go of the evil desires of your youth. And then what he says in verse 22, again, he says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue. I know we know this verse. Pursue. That's not, nonchalantly walking through the meadow, and if I happen to see a flower, I might pick it, I might not. As you meander, my dad When you went to get something, Dad, I know you're watching, but when I went to get something as a kid, there was no meandering in that. When Dad sent you for something, you need to step it along. And God says, you need to pursue it. You need to go after it. Because it's yours. And you need to go after this. You need to pursue righteousness. You need to pursue, the root word for righteousness is straightness. I need to have a hunger for God. Pursue righteousness. I'm going after a hunger for God's will. I'm going to do it God's way. And I need a hunger for faith. I need to pursue faith, a real awareness of God. A real awareness of God. See, I need to say this again. Or I'm saying it to myself because I only said it to you once, and I've said it to myself like 65 times this week. You can be aware and have an awareness of God. He's going to say stuff to you. He's going to speak to you. And he said, you need to go after that awareness. Again, it doesn't matter if your surrender number is a 10 today or a 85. I want to know if you want it to be an 11 or an 86. And he said, you're going to need a fresh anointing. You're going to need to have your want to sanctified or increased. But let's get down to the practical stuff too. You're going to need to go after an awareness of God. You're going to need to go after love, an unshakable heart. Go after that. Well, I don't have that. Of course you don't have it. He would say pursue it if you already had it. You know, man, it'd been a great place for pursue, boom, comma, unless you already have it, and then forget this sentence, comma, and then goes on. It doesn't. So that tells me, guess what? Nobody in this room has a surrender number of 100. Go after it. Ask for it. You don't know what to pray for yourself. Start with that phrase right there. Take a picture of that. Whatever you got to do, get that and say, this is what I'm praying for. I'm praying for a hunger to do it God's way. I'm praying for a real awareness of God. I'm praying for an unshakable heart. And I'm praying for something that stills and stabilizes me so much that I will not be shaken. Was the verse that our over and over and over and over and over as Cheryl was navigating the cancer treatment in her life, I heard it over and over, I will not be shaken. That's peace. I'm telling you what, we didn't come equipped with that during that journey. We went after that. He said, you're going to need to go after some stuff. Let me finish with this. Flee the evil desires of your youth and pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You don't have to go alone. We'll go with you. But let me end with this. Married couples in the room, don't make your spouse go without you. I don't know what that's like, but you can talk to Cheryl. That's rough. And frankly, I don't care if your husband is a 28 and you are a 13 or vice versa. I'm not asking. Again, I'm not asking for that. I didn't make up any t-shirts with 28 on them.
but can, along with those that are going, along with those that are carrying their cross. The marriage just says, don't make your spouse go alone. Single people in the room, if you got your eye on someone who doesn't have their eye on God, drop them like a hot potato. And get your running shoes on and turn around and run as fast as you can the other way. Parents in the room, you're going to need to let your kids walk on their high places. It's risky to let your 18-year-old daughter to walk on high places. Just so you know, I know. And you're going to need to let your kids do that. Kids in the room, talk to your mom about and your dad about your high places. I already had this discussion with Isaiah. Walk with those that are walking, that are headed toward their high places, that are in their high places. Look at the Lord God, Adonai Yahweh, is my strength. And Adonai Yahweh has made or given my the ability to my feet to feet like a deer or a hind's feet. And he makes me walk on whose high places. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by grace I received my sight, so I could walk with this cross. Stand with me today. God, I got to be honest. I don't have a script of my own high places, let alone the script of everybody's high places in this room. But I am certain of this. You do. You do. And so, Lord, help us to have this fresh anointing this morning. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Even if you have to melt me and mold me and make me and use me. And Father, help us just to let go of the stuff that's not valuable. And let us take a hold of the stuff, the righteousness and the peace and the love . Help us to take hold of the valuable stuff. Let us let down the worthless stuff. And Father, I for one do not want to get in the way as the pastor of anyone getting to their high place, so get me out of the way. But I also want to be a part, and I want everybody to be a part of another person getting to their high places. It says, go with people that are going. That means I don't know if I can go alone, even though it's my cross and it's my high places. So, Father, help us help each other. Help us help each other. Adonai Yahweh, you are our strength. You make our feet like the feet of a deer. You make us walk on our high places.
Let it be, let it be, let it be. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.